Last week, student members of Communities United for Restorative Youth Justice from the Bay Area traveled to Sacramento to rally at the state capitol. They were there to support Assemblyman V. Manuel Perez's resolution to establish a statewide student and youth bill of rights to improve education. Here's Assemblyman Perez speaking at that rally.
And we need to make sure that we invest in you. And we invest in you by creating opportunities with you, as opposed to incarcerating you, or pushing you out of schools, or suspending and expelling you. So today's efforts, first and foremost, is to let the legislature know that you do have a voice.
It's been a tumultuous year for California universities, especially the UCs. Campuses have played host to several protests throughout the year, with students outraged over rising costs. Tuition has risen by more than 300% over the last decade, largely the consequence of drops in state support. Last year, student payments exceeded state contributions for the first time in the system's history. To gain some perspective on the University of California's struggle to serve its students and on students' demands for their rights, we're going to look to the South. Actually, just about as far south as we can go. Education costs in Chile are second only to the United States. Both countries have pronounced income inequality. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development says that of 31 mostly rich countries, Chile has the most unequal distribution of wealth in the world. The U.S. is in fourth place. And in Chile, KALW's Carolina Hidalgo says rising education costs have helped entrench that economic gap.
I'm a young Chilean journalist. I graduated in 2009 from one of my country's state-sponsored universities in the capital, Santiago. It's a fine school, has a strong reputation. But in recent years, these universities have suffered severe losses in public subsidies. Now, just like in California, they are mostly financed by students' fees. And just like in California, that sparked protests.
I believe that education should be a good provided by the society as a whole, that is to say, by the state. And in that sense, public education is a tool we have to ensure that there will be equality of opportunity.
Giorgio Jackson has been one of the main leaders of the Chilean student movement, which has drawn tens of thousands of people to the streets. Aside from his activism, he's currently completing his degree in engineering, and he has a vision for what higher education should be.
La educación superior cumple una función.
And public higher education must contribute to our society by creating knowledge and applying to real life. That is a main triumph of the 21st century, the added value we can give to the economy. And that is what's at stake. If we want higher education to be private, individual, or if we want it to be collective, of a society as a whole. In that sense, public education plays an important role by generating free thinking and being at the forefront of innovation and application of that knowledge.
Jackson's perspective is on the Chilean system, but he recalls the original vision for the University of California. In the 1960s, it was the biggest public university in America, and Clark Kerr was its president.
The university is being called upon to educate previously unimagined numbers of students, to respond to the expanding claims of national service, to merge its activities with industry as never before.
Here is Kerr, as captured in the documentary film Berkeley in the 60s.
Characteristic of this transformation is the growth of the knowledge industry, which is coming to permeate government and business, and to draw into it more and more people raised to higher and higher levels of skill.
50 years later, that system is transforming.
The tendency of states to disinvest from public universities is part of what I see as a larger issue in the United States about the question of common good.
Gibor Basri is the Vice Chancellor for Equity and Inclusion of UC Berkeley.
When you pull away from the common good, what happens is people who aren't affluent lose the services, and the people who are affluent get them privately. And this is a philosophical question. So the students have been asking for a return to the common good, but in order to achieve that, we have to have a return to that way of thinking by the public.
I come from a middle-class family. I was not able to get financial aid, and my education cost up to $700 per month, quite a lot in a country where our average household income is just $1,000 per month. Giorgio Jackson notes this is the hardship for many hopeful college students in Chile.
Solamente los que tienen muchos recursos pueden financiar eso. Y es muy injusto eso.
Only the families of many resources can pay for that, and it is really unfair.
He says it creates a negative ripple effect for students in struggling economies.
Yo creo que lo que se tiene que empezar a romper es el individualismo que genera.
I think we have to start breaking down individualism. This idea that education is a private good and an individual good, and when we all start to understand that the education of others is good for me and it is good for us as a whole, in that moment it makes sense that we all must finance it because it is important to all of us. That's when the issue of taxes comes up, especially for the government of California, which is always in favor of lower taxes.
The Public Policy Institute of California has found that 62% of Californians think public education in the state is going in the wrong direction. But 52% are not willing to pay higher taxes to maintain current funding. The result is thousands of UC graduates leave school in debt. Jackson has a solution.
There are ways to fix this that are a little more fair than paying for your degree or getting a fixed interest rate loan. Instead, the student should pay back the state, which I think he should do because the state pays for his education after his studies by way of a tax that is proportional to his income.
That's one way. California is taking its own steps. Again, UC Berkeley Vice Chancellor Gibor Basri.
Right now, the way our financial aid system works, we have, whenever anyone pays tuition, a third of it immediately goes into the financial aid pot.
Berkeley has a plan for families whose gross income ranges from $80,000 to $140,000 a year. It caps undergraduate fees at 15% of parent income. And the school is doing more to help California's middle-class students.
As we have increased the number of international students, for example, that has given us a little more to work with in terms of starting to help the middle class.
However, Basri says that if the state disinvestment in higher education continues, it could jeopardize the original purpose of the University of California.
At Berkeley, we feel like we have turned the corner on the question of how to stabilize our budget, but of course it doesn't look like it did before. It has a much stronger student component, which you can view as private if you like, because the individual user is paying instead of the taxpayer. So unless the state turns around, that's going to stay that way. And we have to find other sources as well. And they may be from private foundations, donors, companies, whatever. But then the question is, what do you do with the money? And do you continue your public purpose? And do you continue to serve the public in the sense that Berkeley does?
In my home country of Chile, the government is trying to invest more state money into its universities. But politicians are having trouble finding the funds. Here in California, lawmakers and administrators have shown they have the will to keep public higher education accessible. The question is whether they can find a way to keep covering the costs. Until it's sustainable, middle-class students like me will struggle to pay for our education. In Berkeley, I'm Carolina Hidalgo for Crash Currents.